All right, well, let me jump on into today's Right Side Way opening monologue. And I'll be honest with you, this one does deal with crime. And this one also, oh, by the way, is a history lesson. So let's talk about some things, and let's talk about a different day. Let's talk about a time when those who acted out in a criminal way were not given honor or passes. They were not given cashless bail. They were actually treated like they deserved. But I'll tell you this, divide and conquer, that's what the left is pursuing. They really are. The left does not have a viable plan. The left is providing no policies or leadership or promoting any growth. Their plan right now is just simply hate Trump. And let's be honest, if you watch the behaviors, if you listen to the rhetoric, if you take in what they're saying, then the only conclusion is that so many on the left actually hate Donald Trump more than they love America. And that's the case. They hate Donald Trump more than they love America. Nowhere is that disembodied, ghoulish behavior more evident right now than in the left's inability to admit when criminal acts need to be addressed. They can't. They won't. They don't want to admit that crime is rampant in blue cities, and that would be admitting that Trump is right. And so, meanwhile, people are dying. Like, take Chicago, for instance. For 13 consecutive years, y'all, Chicago has had the most murders of any U.S. city. For 7 consecutive years, Chicago has had the highest murder rate among all U.S. cities with more than a million people. Out of Chicago's 147,899 crimes reported since January 1st, arrests have only been made in 16% of them. We're talking New Orleans, Memphis, Baltimore, Detroit. They also rank among the top murder capitals per capita in the world. In the world! But the answer from these cities is not, please help us. The only response you get from their blue leadership when they're confronted about it is to create the false flag operations of things like racism and social justice and mental health and bad, bad Trump. It's demeaning. It's insulting to their citizens. It's just gross. It's the absolute neglect of their people because they are so steeped in their dogma that they would rather burn down the house than to admit that the house needs repairs. Case in point, story broke a couple of years ago about flyers that were found in the employee break room at Home Depot. One of those flyers was subtitled, Unpacking Privilege. Oh boy. Under the title of Leading Practices and purported to examine different types of privilege, including social privilege, white privilege, and even heterosexual privilege, whatever that is. One example read, if you're confident that the police exist to protect you, you have white privilege. Come on. Who does that? What level of hate-mongering has to exist in someone's warped thinking for them to believe that safe streets are not important, only hating what is right, hating what is good, denying what is safe? And nothing has brought this strange divide more to the forefront of our national discourse than the recent murder of a beautiful young Ukrainian immigrant named Irina Zarutska. She was just 23 years old. You heard the story. We even talked about it yesterday. Maybe you saw the heartbreaking videos of Irina sitting on a public transport train in Charlotte, North Carolina, and suddenly, a career criminal deranged lunatic stood up behind her and savagely stabbed her in the neck for no reason. The images are heartbreaking. Heartbreaking as the craven savage stared down at her and then calmly walked away, dripping her blood through the train car, while mumbling that he got him a white girl. Irina came to America to escape war and violence. But she went to a blue city where judges let criminals walk free and mayors want to talk about how hard life is for the criminals. Yeah, she escaped war, but she found crime and she bled out on the train. But I got to tell you, and here's when I'm going to jump into some history for a minute. I got to tell you a story about one guy that inspired me to talk about this. There was a time when the sensible thing to do was actually to hunt down perpetrators and bring them to justice. To actually press in and realize that power and politics and persuasions about personalities don't matter. What matters is people. People are lost if you don't do something about law and order. If your constituents are dying, you're failing. And I was reminded of one of those stories most recently. You ever heard of a guy named Frank Hamer? Frank Hamer. Hamer was a legend. He was a take no prisoners, take the fight to the bad guys, good guy. And his story is epic. He was Francis Augustus Hamer, known to his friends as Frank. He was an American lawman, a Texas Ranger. He was born in the late 1800s. He's been described as one of the greatest lawmen of the entire 20th century. And although his formal education ended after the sixth grade, as a youth, Hamer displayed all kinds of unusual abilities, including an extremely high level of intelligence. He had a near eidetic or photographic memory. At 21 years old, after capturing a horse thief on his own, Hamer was actually recruited to the Texas Rangers. From the violent borderlands of South Texas to the oil boom towns where law meant nothing, Hamer walked straight into chaos, and he always came out alive. As a Texas Ranger, he went wherever he was called. He dealt with border bandits, prohibition bootleggers, and arms smugglers during the Mexican Revolution. In 1908, Frank Hamer resigned for a time from the Rangers to become the city marshal of Navasota, Texas, a lawless boomtown that was racked by violence. Shootouts on the main street were said to be so frequent that in 2 years, at least 100 men had died. Hamer moved in at the age of 24 and enforced the law and order through his sheer force of will. In 1922, back again with the Texas Rangers, Hamer led the fight to stop the Ku Klux Klan as a senior Ranger captain, and he allegedly saved 15 people from lynch mobs. In 1928, Hamer spoke truth to power by putting a halt to a murder-for-hire ring. Get this, his extraordinary means of accomplishing it made him nationally famous. What it was the Texas Bankers Association. What? Yes. The Texas Bankers Association were so tired of being robbed, they began offering rewards of $5,000 for every dead bank robber, but not 1 cent for a live one. You can imagine how that went. Hamer determined that men were setting up homeless men to be killed by complicit police officers to get the reward money. So the officers, they would collect the rewards and pay the men their finder's fees. Yeah, when the corrupt police refused to support Hamer's investigation, though, Hamer wrote out a detailed expose of the whole racket. He called it the Banker's Murder Machine. He took his article down to the press room of the state capitol in Texas and handed out copies. And his revelations about the racket resulted in public outrage, an investigation, indictments. Basically, Hamer was a man who would stare down whoever got in the way of law and order. He retired soon after that in 1932, but then he was called out of retirement one more time, and it became his most famous hunt in the year 1934, when Frank Hamer was called upon to be the one to head up the hunt for Bonnie Parker and Clyde Barrow, the infamous Bonnie and Clyde. So for months, Hamer studied their patterns, where they ate, where they hid, the back roads they favored. And on May 23, 1934, near Gippsland, Louisiana, Hamer led a posse into an ambush that ended in a storm of over 100 gunshots. The headlights screamed his name, but Hamer refused interviews. He turned down glory, because for him it was never about the fame. It was about ending violence with violence when no one else had the steel to do it. By the time he died in 1955, Hamer's legend was forged in scars and blood. He had been wounded 17 times in gunfights, but none had stopped him. Between 50 and 70 criminals had fallen to his gun, and countless others were broken by his presence. Inducted into the Texas Ranger Hall of Fame, his name became a symbol of iron will. He was a man who would walk headfirst into danger again and again because he believed that somebody had to. It's said that at a time when crime reigned in parts of our nation, that Frank Hamer wasn't just a ranger. He was the line between order and chaos. Folks, this is a battle for our society we're in right now. It is. I'm looking at the news right now, Charlie Kirk being shot for no other reason except having a conservative voice. The young lady on the train who died senselessly the other day. Any number of other events like that. The left does not want us to be united. But like my lovely Charlene always says, there's more of us than there are of them. And there's a reason why all of us are glad that Trump has chosen to go on the offensive against crime. Because he sees the concept of safe communities as being a part of his mandate. Because he, Donald Trump, cannot abide by the idea of working harder to just, you know, not offend the liberals more than locking away the criminals. He has attacked this issue, and he is taking on the Frank Hamer role of standing between order and chaos. General George Patton once said, "You must acquire the warrior soul." Another time he said, "There are three ways that men can get what they want: by planning, by working, and by praying." And he went on to say, "Any great military operation takes careful planning or thinking, but then you must have well-trained troops to carry it out. That's the working. But between the plan and the operation," he said, "there's always an unknown. And that unknown spells defeat or victory, success or failure. It's the reaction of the actors to the ordeal when it comes." Some people, Patton said, call that getting the breaks. He said, "I call it God. God has his part or his margin in everything, and that's where prayer comes in." Yeah, I agree with Patton. I think so. I think it takes a warrior soul. I think it takes someone who will plan and prepare and go into the fray, whether it's popular or not, just because it's needed, knowing that they have the good on their side. Because the line between order and chaos is often a thin line. Sometimes it's the thin blue line of law enforcement officers who go into hard places and do hard things every day. And sometimes it's the strength of one man who can inspire others. Sometimes it's just about politicians who will get out of the way, and if they won't move, then we have to have them moved. Look, we're at a hinge point right now in the war on crime. I got to ask you, what kind of country do you want? What kind of community do you want to live in? What kind of place do you want for your children to grow up in? This is a fight worth having. We're in this fight together. And yes, there's more of us than there are of them. And yes, like Frank Hamer, I believe that President Trump has actually decided to defy the critics and work to be the one who stands on the fine line between order and chaos. And that's a wrap for The Right Side Way.